Hi there, my Israelite brothers and sisters. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is part 7 of The Gospel Never Told. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. The Gospel Never Told can be found on the main menu and in the Word Study audio section. I want to remind you that the Kingdom of God, correctly translated, should read the kingship of God, or the reign of God. The kingdom is a reign rather than a realm or a piece of real estate. The reign of heaven is a state of mind in which you enter, being called out of this world system and out of the churches. It's a belief and a behavior about which Jesus Christ taught that would be expressed and realized in a society. It's you, his ecclesia, that is the kingdom of heaven in action and a state of being, and by embodying the same faith Jesus Christ had, your actions prepares for the kingdom as it is to come in glory. Jesus, Yeshua Christ, was calling out his people through the message that the kingdom has arrived, and as a result of believing that this was He, their hearts and minds would bring them into a condition of being a lively stone in His reign. If you are waiting for the kingdom, then your state of mind is in the wrong condition. Jesus proclaimed the good news of the reign. Let's get right into it and close out the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus explains the two great commandments. Matthew 22:37. Yeshua said unto him, You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Deuteronomy 6:5. And you shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what does Yahweh your God require of you, but to fear Yahweh your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy 30:6. And Yahweh your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed, to love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Matthew 22:38. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19:18.
You shall not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh.
Matthew 22:40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Did you notice to whom these commandments were made? Did you notice who your neighbor is? Here are some clues you might have missed. Israel, your seed, your people, and your neighbor, which is defined as kinsmen. So we see these are Israelites. Who is Yahweh God, the God of? Everybody in the world? What do the scriptures say? Well, there are 231 matches for the God of. Let's quickly see who he is the God of. God of heaven and the earth, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God of my father, God of Bethel, God of Nahor, God of the Hebrews, God of Israel, God of the flesh of Adam's descendants, God of the spirits of Adam's descendants, God of Jeshurun, which is a symbolic name for Israel, God of the armies of Israel, God of my rock and salvation spoken of by David, God of Hezekiah, God of Jerusalem, which is symbolic of the people, God of all the families of Israel, God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God of Daniel, God of the Judahites, the tribe of Judah in Judea, God of Jesus Christ. Nowhere does it say he is the God of the churches, Gentiles, Jews, or other races. Just what are these churches teaching? Some other God. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus again exposes the Jewish Pharisees and the authority they had usurped. That they are hypocrites and liars. That they exalt themselves. Jesus has 9 woes for them in chapter 23. Matthew 23:13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Jesus states that the Jews are obstructing the entrance of Israelites into the kingdom of heaven, and that the Jews themselves cannot enter. He calls them serpents, the counterfeit race that cannot escape the judgment of hell, and that when they convert someone to their Luciferian doctrine and Judeo-Christianity, they make them twofold more the child of hell than themselves. There's a lot of twofold Christians of hell in the churches trusting in a false gospel that they think is simply about agreeing with the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. The churches are doing the same thing today as the Jewish Pharisees did back then, locking the kingdom of heaven from men with their false doctrines. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus explains that the gospel is for overcomers, and he explains the sign of his coming and the end of the world. Many will deceive, and many will be deceived. There shall be wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes, persecutions, offenses, betrayals, and hatred for one another. Love of the truth shall wax cold. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel, the good news of the kingdom, the reign, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. All nations should read all the nations, meaning the nations of Israel to whom the gospel is for. The King James Version translators left out the definite article, the, G1588. This happens a lot, and it changes the context. Jesus Christ was sent unto the nations of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to all nations. Did Jesus go to Asia, or Mexico, or down to Africa? No, he walked among his own people who were living in Galilee of the nations and the towns of Judea. We see that he identified who he came for many times, Israelites, and as can be shown through genealogy, archaeology, migration, heraldry, and fitting the prophetic marks which identify God's people, we see that the Anglo-Saxon, Caucasian peoples are the children of Jacob Israel. We know that the abomination of desolation back then was racially alien pagans taking over the temple and sacrificing unclean animals on the altar. Today, since we are his temples, the abomination of desolation is transhumanism through ungodly technology, gene-altering nanotech and hydrogel and graphene oxide and other wicked ingredients in vaccines, eliminating the God gene in us and turning us into hybridized GMO artificially enhanced mind control slaves. Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master has made over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, shall find so doing. Meat symbolizes the inner mysteries or deep teachings of the Word. So why are the preachers in the pulpit teaching you to
just believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Why are they teaching you that your works are not necessary? Why are they teaching you that the gospel is about the good news that Jesus died, was buried, and rose on the third day, and to wait for the kingdom? We should all be doing whatever we can for the edification of Yahweh's kingdom in his people, to teach them the meat of their rich Israelite history and heritage, to teach them who they are and whose they are, to teach them who their enemies are, to teach them to be the kingdom, which is a condition and a state of mind and a lifestyle, to teach them the gospel never told. If we are found doing so, we shall have all the more reward. In Matthew chapter 25, we see the parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25:1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, or rather, then shall the reign of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. This parable is about the 10 northern tribes of the house of Israel, which had been divorced from Yahweh, punished, and carried off by the Assyrians, and afterwards in their migrations forgot who they were. Foolishness is symbolic of acting without understanding of God's Word. To be without God's Word is to be without His law, and, therefore, in sin. Verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Lamp is symbolic of the called out of God and His Word. The function of those whom God calls out is to hold, promote, and distribute the light of His Word. Oil is symbolic of the Word of God. The oil is the fuel of the Word given to light our way during the darkness of ignorance and the lack of understanding. The lost sheep, or virgins, were ignorant and without understanding of God's Word, the law, and their Israelite identity. Why? Because of the divorce and scattering of their ancestors. This is what Paul was teaching the nations of lost Israelites, which is incorrectly translated as Gentiles. But these are not Gentiles. They are the descendants of divorced Israelites who were walking as the other pagan nations because they were living among them. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. When God divorced the ancient Israelites, He blinded their eyes to Him because they blinded their eyes to Him. But He promised to open their eyes, and this was done through the gospel. This is all foretold in Deuteronomy 28:28, Isaiah 42:7 and 16, and 43:8, Jeremiah chapter 31, and Paul reminds them of these things in Romans 11:25. Acts 17:30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere is all Israelites everywhere who were lost, ignorant, and blind. The only people who need to repent for breaking the law and covenant which was given only to Israelites are Israelites. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes, go you out to meet him. Midnight is symbolic of a time of ignorance and unpreparedness. Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. A person who does not understand the Word of God may be able to see the favor of God in others who are rich in the fuel of the Word, and be convinced of it and acknowledge it, as these foolish virgins did. They realized the wisdom of the wise and their own folly. They realized that their faith was dead because they had no works, meaning they did not expand their understanding beyond just believing, so their lamps were not trimmed and put in order. Verse 9. But the wise answered and said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. No one has more than grace enough for themselves. You cannot give others the grace God has given you. This favor comes from God to those who will respond and honor that gift of grace by practicing His Word. The foolish virgins were too late. They sat in their own pew and were comfortable with just believing and waiting for the rapture. We can't do it for others. You have to study and learn. You have to put in the work and get right before it's too late. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Matthew 25:10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Where did the foolish virgins go to buy? The foolish virgins were found in the marketplace supporting the beast system, Mystery Babylon, and seeking the snake oil of the churches. People believe the false religions of the churches because it's all they know. People reject the truth because it's all they don't want to know, because it challenges what they think they know. Verse 11, afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Master, Master, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Psalm 5:5, the foolish shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Matthew 25:13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Adam comes. It matters what kind of oil is in your lamp. The oil of deception, lies, and disobedience, or the oil of truth and obedience. Notice that Yahweh calls the foolish workers of iniquity, whom he hates. I think it's safe to say that the foolish virgins also represent those who think the gospel is simply believing that Jesus is the Son of God, who died, was buried, and rose on the third day, and by just believing, you are then saved. They are the ones who are identifying as trans-Gentiles that get to choose and accept Jesus. They don't have to show works. They can eat unclean animals and are under grace because the law was done away with. And they can tolerate evil because they will skip tribulation because the rapture is going to take them away. The wise virgins know that the gospel is more than just accepting that Jesus is the Son of God, who died, was buried, and rose on the third day. We know that the gospel is believing and doing his word, and having the same faith which Christ had. And by having that same faith, you are preserved in this life, and can expect to be delivered unto the next. Wise is knowing that you are a flesh and blood Israelite who is chosen by Jesus because your works show you to be faithful, and that you remain set apart from eating unclean animals because the law was not done away with, and that you eschew the evil and understand that we will go through trials and tribulation, which refines us. Because when the harvest is at hand, we will remain while the evil is taken out. Big difference in beliefs between what the churches teach, isn't it? The bad news is that the gospel of the churches is accepted by most, while the gospel never told is revealed to those who are called out by God. The parable of the talents. Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his own ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his master's money. This is not about making a profit with fiat money in the Jewish International Babylonian banking system. It's about witnessing. Being a witness by telling others about the gospel never told. Building the kingdom by being the kingdom. Verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Master, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. He took the word that was given to him, and went out and witnessed to others that had ears to hear, bringing them back into the sheepfold. Verse 21. His master said unto him, Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your master. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Master, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His master said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your master. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you had not scattered the seed. When we are blessed with understanding the word, it is our duty to spread the word. We are to sow the word, and the master gives the growth and reaps the harvest. Verse 25, And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Lo, there you have what is yours. He got the blessing of the word, but did nothing with it. This guy was a just believer without works. So we see the gospel is more than just believing Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 26. His master answered and said unto him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with interest. Interest being the multiplying of the word being spread by the others that received it from you. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that possesses, more shall be given. But from him that does not possess, shall be taken away even all that he possesses. If God has called you and given you the word, and you do nothing with it, then even the life you have will be taken away. Verse 30. And cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The last part of chapter 25 deals with the judgment of the nations. Which nations? The nations of Israel, the people to whom were given the commandments. The sheep are separated from the goats. Are they separated by what they've believed, or according to their works? Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Romans 2:7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. In Matthew chapter 26 is the Last Supper. The New Testament is explained. The correct translation is the renewed covenant. The old and new covenants are the same covenant. The only difference is that after Yeshua Christ Jesus was sacrificed, the priesthood expired. The priesthood, priests, Levitical ordinances, sacrifices, rituals, and oblations ceased. These are what was done away with. This is because Jesus Christ Yeshua fulfilled those needs. He became our high priest and only mediator to God. He was the last sacrifice. He paid the price for our sins. He now makes intercession for us when we sin and repent. Did he do this for everybody in the world? Exodus 24:8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh had made with you concerning all these words. Leviticus 17:11.
For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul.
All these things were done to and for the children of Israel. When someone makes a covenant or promise with you, it does not include anyone else. Amos 3:2.
You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities.
Only Israel was given the law. Only Israel will be judged by the law. Jesus Christ came for Israel and died for Israel, so Israel may live, and so Israel may be remarried to Yahweh God. In chapter 27, Jesus is tried and murdered by the Jews. The churches teach that the Romans did it. Pilate did not find Jesus guilty and told the Jews to take him and judge him according to their law. In chapter 28, Jesus is resurrected, which is the good news, but it's only part of the gospel. The rest is never told, but you are learning and hopefully seeing the rest of the story in this series. Jesus Christ's final commission to his disciples is to teach all the nations. Matthew 28:18. And Yeshua Christ came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The context is still and always the nations of Israel, near and far. The covenant is still to the children of Israel. Again, the King James Version translators left out G3588, the. The definite article the precedes nations in the manuscripts, so it should read all the nations, the 12 nation tribes of Israel, the people to whom Yeshua said he came for. These are easily traced to the white nations of the world, who bear the emblems and the marks of the Israelites. So did he mean every nation and race? Let's look at the reference in Acts. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So who was in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth? Israelites. Remember all the lost and scattered Israelites walking in darkness among the nations? Remember all the prophecies in the Old Testament which were to, for, and about Israelites? Remember how these prophecies were being fulfilled in the AD descendants of the BC Israelites of the New Testament? Remember how Jesus said four times that he came only unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel? I'd like to share a short article with you by Arnold Kennedy, Why Not Proclaim the Kingdom of Heaven?
There are 32 references of the Kingdom of Heaven in the Gospel of Matthew. There are no references in the rest of the New Testament using this phrase. Matthew is the story of the Messiah as the King and is written from the standpoint of the kingship of Jesus. The book is written to Israel with about 60 references to Old Testament prophecies. The Old Testament is quoted 40 times to show how Jesus fulfilled certain prophecies. Within this book of Matthew, there are also references to the kingdom of God, of which the kingdom of heaven is a part. These are as follows. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 12:28, the kingdom of God is come unto you. Matthew 19:24, for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 21:31, publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Matthew 21:43, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. The rest of the Gospels are not written from the same standpoint as is Matthew, and correspondingly we see the expression, the kingdom of God only. The king's return is the time of receiving the full inheritance. The Apostle Paul speaks of the earnest, or down payment, of the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 1:22, and of the earnest of our inheritance as a present portion now available to the children of God. This is not the full measure that will be shown when the sons of God are manifest. Thus, we can see the very close connection between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The traditional teaching is that both are exactly the same and the same in all ways. The word for heaven is ouranos and is used in the plural, whereas the word for God is theos in the singular. In no way can these words be synonyms, and in no way can they be exactly the same thing.
End of article. So, in the Gospel of Matthew, we see no teachings of personal salvation. We see Jesus speaking specifically about the kingdom of God. Since the kingdom of God is something present, as in a condition, a state of mind, and a reign, we see that in Matthew 6:33, that when we seek the condition, state of mind, and state of being under the kingship and reign of God, everything we need will be added unto us. We see that in Matthew 12:28, that when we are under the condition of Christ's kingship and we eschew the evil, the rain is come upon evil and casts it out. We see in Matthew 19:24 that rich men that trust in their riches cannot reign with God. We see in Matthew 21:31, publicans and harlots can do the will of God and reign with him when they repent and do the works of cultivating the vineyard, but the Jews cannot. And in verse 43, the reign and authority which was usurped by the Jewish Pharisees was taken from them and given to Israelites who bring forth fruits. The kingdom is visibly represented in us and shows that Jesus Christ is reigning now, and it prepares for the kingdom as it is to come in glory. I'd like to close out Matthew with an article by Dr. Wesley Swift, who answers a question about the gospel of the kingdom. Question: what then is this gospel of the kingdom that Yeshua was preaching as he went all around Galilee? Answer: this is recorded in Matthew 4:23 and Mark 1:14. You will remember that the Bible is the story of the Adamic race and how our first parents, Adam and Eve, violated divine law, causing death to come upon this race as well. Thus, there was a law of sin, violation of divine law, and death. When organic creations are in perfect harmony with their creator, and when organic balance is chemically maintained, and there is no principal violation of divine law, then there is no death in the higher orders. In other words, when the spirit is enveloped in the Shekinah light of divine presence, there is no death, no aging of tissue, for there is a perfect glandular balance. But when Adam and Eve, in their fall, violated divine law, it called for an atonement and deliverance. Why? Because Yahweh told them this would happen, before the foundation of the world, when all his children were with him in spirit. He promised he would take a body, a physical body like we have, that would be born out of his Adamic race, and would redeem our race, restore back to us everything we would lose by not being able to remain perfect in this Luciferian-controlled world. As he finished the atonement, then in time he would empower his race to finish the task they came to earth to do, which would be to fulfill the number, which means find the lost sheep and bring them back to the fold. Thus, this gospel of the kingdom is the transference of Yahweh's kingdom from heaven to earth with a spirit-endowed seed. His own sons and daughters would come into physical bodies to establish his kingdom in earth forever. The gospel of the kingdom which Jesus preached starts in the book of Genesis and carries through the rest of the books of the Old Testament. These set up an outline of the order of the kingdom. They give us the commandments, the statutes, the judgments for their operation of the kingdom. By honoring the gospel of the kingdom, Joshua defeated 31 kings and their nations. Now, here in Matthew comes Yahweh embodied as Messiah, and he is preaching this gospel of the kingdom, which is his blueprint for taking back the control of the earth from this fallen archangel whom he allowed to rebel. And embedded this gospel of the kingdom, this, his grace, reaches out to the ends of the earth, for it is his purpose to bring all our people into proper relationship with him, which they lost as they fell under the influence of Lucifer, to teach them the error of following Lucifer, to give them the capability to think correctly, is one of the goals of his kingdom administration, which will be in perfection with total justice for all. Here, in the physical earth, the administration of his kingdom is to be conducted by his children of spirit, who have this spiritual capacity to think his thoughts. Only the offspring of Yahweh, having been begotten of spirit in the beginning before they came into earth, can be the administrators identified by Yeshua Messiah, as we find him teaching his disciples this gospel of the kingdom, which is the story of the Bible. But strangely enough, in the denominational churches, and in the Roman Catholic churches as well, the people are told that the only message Jesus preaches was salvation for everyone on the face of the earth, with the idea that all will then go off into heaven, which is somewhere in space. In the churches, this seems to be the only message that Jesus preached. There is no question of the fact that he preached salvation, but this was just a part of the gospel of the kingdom. He declared as to who he came, and who and how they were to be saved. He preached the basic philosophy of the gospel of the kingdom, that it is an administration of government here in the earth. It is a political and social gospel outlining how the physical, earthly kingdom is to be administrated, how it will affect areas of society. This is not only a gospel of salvation which he spoke little about, only two times, but a gospel of the purpose and plan of Yahweh God. This gospel of the kingdom carries the affidavit that he, Yeshua, is the eternal Yahweh embodied. To enforce this then, Yeshua said, "Before Abraham, I am." In the Gospel of John, he unveils part of the mystery of the kingdom as he said to his disciples, "Where I go, you know." How? Because they had been there. They came out of the Spirit, embodied through the Adamic race, and he said, "The way I go, you know," and we will go into that more fully as we go to that later. Now, Yeshua spoke of the kingdom most of the time, spoke to the children of the kingdom, explaining that he had come to consummate the promise of redemption promised to Adam. He also wanted his children to understand that things would get very rough for a while, for them, after the atonement was finished. He was strengthening their faith so they would be able to pass through this period. In proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, he also pointed out the enemies of his kingdom, who they were, and how they would act. Not only would they hate him and call for his crucifixion, but after the resurrection, they would be after his family left here in the earth. And talk about persecution. If you only understood a little of the persecution of these followers of Yeshua, this translated Jesus, the Christ, you would not have fallen for the story of the Jewish Holocaust, which is supposed to have happened in Germany in World War II. Now, Yeshua would make it plain that you, the children of his spirit, would be able to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. He was talking to Israel, to this Adamic race only, and if this be white supremacy, then so be it. The Edomite Jews could not understand this gospel of the kingdom. They only felt that it was a danger to them, so they must try to stop it. But the body of Yahweh God in the flesh, walking as Yeshua, Redeemer here in earth, unveiled the mysteries of the kingdom to the children of the kingdom. Whether you realize it or not, 55% of the Gospels are taken up with denunciation of the enemy, so that the children of the kingdom will know who their enemy is and how they try to destroy the people of the kingdom. Thus, the four Gospels of our Bible are also the Gospel of the kingdom, for these men could write no other Gospel because they were taught by Yahweh, who was in the flesh as Messiah, Redeemer of Israel. So the New Testament, as well as the Old Testament in correct translation, is the gospel of the kingdom which Jesus taught. And in our study from now on, we will be learning more and more about the content of this gospel of the kingdom, about this earthly kingdom which will rise, in secret, to be exposed to public view at a certain time. Here is another example of what the churches teach the gospel is.
Hi, I'm Pastor Calvin Whitman from Kirby Woods Baptist Church, and I just want to share with you what we call the gospel. The word gospel simply means good news. And you hear a lot of people talking about the gospel, but what is the gospel? Well, in order to have good news, you have to understand its context. There has to be bad news for something to be good. It's just kind of sweet, can't be sweet without salt or bitterness. So the bad news is that we're all sinners. The Bible says in the book of Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, none of us are perfect. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. None of us are perfect. All of us have done things that we should not have done. Well, what is sin? Sin is doing what we want rather than what God wants. Sin is violating God's truth. And all of us have sinned. That's the reality. The Bible also says that the wages of sin is death. That means that because God is a holy God and a righteous and a just God, He must punish sin. He must punish sin. He can't overlook it. He can't wink at it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be holy. He wouldn't be just. He wouldn't be righteous. But here's the good news. God loved the world so much, that's you and me, He loves us so much, that He sent Jesus, His Son, to die to take the penalty for our sin. He died on the cross to take our place, so that if we put our trust in Him, if we confess our sins and ask Him to forgive us, the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says in the book of Romans that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A lot of people think, well, I just got to get to a place in my life where I'm good enough for God to accept me. But you know, the Bible says in Romans that there's none that is righteous, no, not one. And in the book of Ephesians, it says that we are saved by grace. That's unmerited favor, not through works. We're saved by grace, through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. So no one can boast. No one can say, look what I did. So those people who are trying to get good enough for God, it's never going to happen. In fact, the very word sin is a word in the Greek language that points to shooting an arrow but never hitting the mark. And that means no matter how good we are, we can never hit the mark of God's righteousness. That's why Jesus, who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin. He took our sin on Himself on the cross. And so here's my invitation to you. If you want to have the freedom from being in bondage to sin, the freedom from the penalty of sin, that separation from God, and you want a new life, you want Jesus Christ to come in and to transform you through the power of His indwelling Holy Spirit, it's very simple. All you have to do is ask. Jesus says, whosoever will may come. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so here's the simple prayer. It's just this simple. If you don't have to go to a priest, you don't have to come to a pastor, you don't have to go to anybody, you can pray directly to God. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. If you will say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, forgive me of my sins, come into my life, I give my life to you, Jesus will do that, and He will save you, and He will transform you, and He will give you a home in heaven. And the Bible says, if any person is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. He'll make you a brand new person, give you a new perspective, give you a new outlook, give you a new home in heaven, give you an entire new reality. That's who Jesus is. That's what He wants to do. And He'll do it if you'll ask.
And this is the gospel I would preach. The gospel is the good news of the redemption of the household of God and the reign of the kingship of Jesus, Yeshua Christ. The gospel began in Genesis when, after Adam fell, Yahweh God put a plan into place to redeem Adam and his descendants, who are the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian Israelite people. The good news of redemption begins in Genesis 3:15 with the promise of our Savior, Jesus, Yeshua Christ, of the seed of the woman, who would be born of a virgin, walk among us in the flesh, as the Lamb of God, be lifted up and sacrificed, die, be buried in a tomb, and rise the third day, and by His blood redeem those who were under the penalty of sin by His propitiatory shelter, which Genesis 3:21 represents. The gospel is the good news that though our Israelite ancestors were forsaken for a small moment for breaking the marriage covenant with the Father made at Sinai, He will regather and reconcile us, which is what the gospel message is about. That He keeps His promises of mercy and His loving commitment, which He swore unto Abraham's offspring, and that these promises shall not depart from us, neither shall the covenant be removed. This is the gospel message. The good news is that Jesus Christ paid the price by becoming a sin offering for His people, and that by His shed blood and through repentance for the remission of the penalty of sin, we might become considered righteous and accepted with God if we walk as a renewed Christian, deepening our knowledge and our understanding of His Word and of our heritage, and to make the necessary changes to continue walking in the way as a profitable servant, thereby embodying the reign of Jesus Christ, which is a condition we experience when we are called out of darkness. The good news is that Jesus Christ was calling out His people through the message that the kingdom had arrived, and that the promises and prophecies made to our B.C. Israelite ancestors were being fulfilled in their A.D. descendants, reminding them and us of who we are and whose we are, and that we are called out of the world system, out of the apostate churches, and out of the kingship and reign of Satan. And it is revealed unto us who the children of the devil are, and that this world system is enmity against the kingship of God. And so it prompts us to make the necessary changes in our thoughts and lifestyles, our hearts and minds, and brings us into a condition of being a lively stone in his reign. This is the gospel never told. The gospel is also a commandment. It's a heritage we need to be reminded of. It's a call to repentance. It's a way of life to walk in. Because the law of Yahweh God is perfect and converts our souls. The statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments are pure, enlightening the eyes. And the reverence of God is clean, and his judgments are true and righteous. And that by them the servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. This is the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the promise made back in Genesis 3:15, who would overcome the strong man and redeem our race from the devil who has held the trust deed of our lives and the dominion which Adam gave up to him in the garden. The gospel is the good news, reminding you that you have an inheritance waiting for you if you do that which is required of you to attain the condition you need to embody, which comes from knowing, having, believing, doing, and practicing the faith of Christ, which is made complete in you when you also have the works and fruits which prove your faith and belief in Christ. The gospel is taking this knowledge and sharing it with your kinsmen and women, cleansing them with the word, and the kingdom will be among you. Your reward will be your placement as sons and daughters in the reign of Yeshua Christ. The gospel is a family heirloom, a heritage, a promise, a covenant, a commandment, obedience, a marriage relationship, a love story, a warning, repentance, a calling out, a revealing of the mystery. The gospel is a certain belief. It's a state of mind and a certain condition of being to embody. It's a kingdom theology, a memorial reminded through the seven holy feast days, a kingship and a reign, a redemption plan fulfilled by the seed of the woman in Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh God. This is the gospel message. This is the gospel never told.